Hi there, everybody, and welcome to the Wednesday live session. Let's have a look at what we're covering today. Going to the club Trello board. And in today's session, we've got a few bits and pieces, put my phone on silent, but the main topic we're talking about today are reducing broken appointment times. This is such a key area, and you'll start to learn more about why it's so important when I get my calculator out. I'm getting it ready right now. So first of all, I wanted to go through a little bit of housekeeping as normal. Our daily focus. So our daily focus up until today has been de-stress while you itch. So encouraging you in the clinical area for the team in there, the nurses and the dentists, that while you're going through the itching process, it is a tremendous opportunity to do a nice little breathing exercise of in deeply for 4 seconds, I think it is, and hold for six, and then out, just while that itch is happening, and it can really help reduce your anxiety or stress. That doesn't have to be anxiety, doesn't have to be that dramatic in the surgery. So the daily focus moving forward for this coming week is welcome your reps. Now I've added in here, both up here and down here, a blog article that I wrote a while ago around this concept of really becoming welcoming of the reps. I've worked in environments where sometimes the reps come in and it's a beautiful opportunity to sit back and have a chat and you have a coffee together and it's all glorious. And then the other end of the spectrum where the reps get an eye roll. I used to be a rep for a short, unsuccessful period of time. I was 20 years old. I think I was too young for the rejection, but I would walk into a dental practice and the receptionist would look at me and go, oh, it was awful. And so there's that other end of the spectrum where the reps are really seen as an interruption. They must make an appointment time before they can see anybody. And they kind of push through that visit as quickly as possible. Do you have any brochures? And then be on your way. And what I talk about in this in this blog article is the enormous benefits that reps can have for our dental practices. For a start, you will develop a reputation in the area and in the industry. The reputation you have in the area is supported by or contributed to by how your staff members and yourself, how the team members react to local businesses, to local patients, which is their patient base, how helpful and flexible they are with people and all the other stakeholders within the business as well that are residential, local council. If you participate in the local family fun day, fate day that's every year, for example. And then there's the reputation you have within the industry. And that's all of the other people that come into contact with you, what message are you putting out to them? And I've told you once about a specialist and her receptionist that I used to, or the practice, the dentist at my practice used to refer to for one of the specialist services. And my internet's been up and down a bit today. I thought I may have lost you, but I haven't, which is tremendous. And this particular receptionist was so crabby and rude that the whole practice then just got a reputation because of that one person. Unfair, because the specialist themselves was delightful. And reps play a role in that as well. So if you're very rude and abrupt with reps on a, you know, as they come in and just try to do their job, then that's adding to the reputation you are then creating for yourselves within the industry. So here are some reasons that might explain this accepted rule for treating dental reps. Our dental practices are usually very busy and hectic places with the receptionist juggling many balls in the air. A visit by a rep is seen as an unwelcome interruption. Number two, some reps have only a couple of brief items to cover, where others have more complex matters to discuss. A classic example is a consumables rep saying we've got a special on suction tips, as opposed to a 3M SB rep, or who I used to work for, Coolza rep, who actually are part of the manufacturing of, they're not personally, but their company manufactures the goods. And so they've got more clinical scientific data to discuss with them. If a receptionist is time poor, it is a risk to engage as she may end up having to commit more time than what she has. How do you elegantly make sure that that conversation is short. When there is no system for meeting with reps, it is now or never. If there isn't sufficient time, never is the only option. So it is sometimes you find practices that don't have a particular system in place. Sometimes, as I say, they say must have an appointment time only. Other practices have, you know, we see these two reps, but nobody else. The underlying perception, number four, the underlying perception is that the rep does not offer any value. So they are categorized as a heckler and treated as such. But this is what I'd like you to contemplate. The answer to develop a system with reps that's going to work really well for your practice is the following. Because one of the other things that I think reps are tremendous at is helping you identify areas that your practice could improve upon. What have you seen in other practices, in their waiting rooms, at their reception desks, in their surgeries that are really patient friendly, really focused on customer service? What ideas can we pinch? Also, what areas, when you walk into the practice, can I ask you to, you know, let me know what your eyes land on? Can you sit in the waiting room just for 10 minutes and let me know whether you're finding any corners of cobwebs or area, you know, frayed carpet, anything that we've got a bit blind to, and that you can let us know so we can spruce things up a little bit. So what I suggest you do is discuss with your team the benefits of dental rep visits and shift any unhelpful beliefs. They're not a painful person. They're just trying to do their job, and their job is to either give you discounts and special deals or educate you around the better or new use of a better or new product. Determine how reps will be welcomed into the practice. Be aware that patients are in the waiting room and they are witness to how visitors are treated, and this leaves patients with an impression. So you don't want to be seen as just kind of sucking up to the patients, and any other person that comes into the surgery is rebuffed out of there rudely. No, you want this to be an authentically welcoming place, and you want all the witnesses in your waiting room to see how beautifully you interact with different people walking into the practice. And so once you've determined, okay, we love seeing reps, we want all their information, let's make sure we're working at a system of how we do it. So then when they come in at a time that doesn't suit, that receptionist has that sentence to say, so tremendous to see you. Can we possibly make a time because we're crazy busy at the moment and I know the team want to meet with you. Set aside 2 20-minute times a month, more if needed, for rep meetings. That way, the rep will say, great, when is good for you? And you go, I don't know, maybe this lunchtime? No, set aside an actual 20-minute gap, twice a month or more if needed, where you can assure that rep, you have 20 minutes of the team's time. You have 20 minutes to explain everything durably. And I tell you, it's going to change the way you sit down and absorb that information as well. You'll know that there's a, you know, 20-minute allotment where your attention is going to be required and your respect of this person coming into your space is required. And they are delivering helpful information. It's only going to better your days. When the receptionist makes the meeting time with the rep, tell the rep exactly how much time they have. They can properly prepare and ensure best value for the time is delivered. And reps are very aware of your time. And so if you say you have to be out by 1, or we have 20 minutes from 20 to 1 to 1 o'clock, they will stick within that 20 minutes, I assure you. If you have a rep that comes every week, they do so because nothing else has been specified. They think they're doing the right thing because they think, the more I call out on these people, the more supported they feel. Gauge your needs from each company and then clarify. Say, I love you coming out every week. It's so wonderful, but I regret that I haven't got enough time to spend with you. If you just came out once a month, that'd be enormously helpful. And we'll make sure that we put a 20-minute time aside. You get to see the whole team. So do have a little read of the other details within this blog article. The link of it is within the Trello card there and under the Daily Focus, and it will be included on your morning Daily Focus emails that get sent out as well. So I encourage you to welcome the reps. They're only good, they can only do good things for you. The next thing I wanted to mention, and Elle, you were participating in it, is the recording session for the doing session. The recording of the doing session is all loaded. You've all been emailed that, and you will find it on that card. You just have to click that area there. and you'll find that doing session, the recording link, also some of the documents that I mentioned throughout the doing session. The key document there, of course, is you've got a blank Excel document already formatted and with formulas and everything. So if you didn't want to go ahead and create your own document, you can just download that one and use it straight away. The other area you can find that is under video tutorials. The third thing, just a quick reminder, I noticed it come through, the Veteran Affairs had their new fee schedule out. In my particular situation, it was forwarded to me by one of my dentist clients. So if you're receptionists and practice managers out there and you haven't yet received that, then there's the link that'll take you straight through to the page where you've got the new fee schedule. And that is active as of the 1st of July. So you can upload those fees into your system immediately. The other thing that's under the video tutorials column list is the Canva video for patients. And we were mentioning before about creating a video for your patients that you can post on Facebook and your website with just one of your team members casually talking about the added measures your practice are taking to make sure that the patients are safe coming into the practice, your team are safe, etc. And there's a link there, sorry, there's the it's a YouTube video, that one. When I do those sort of videos, I use a different format other than Zoom, so it's always a YouTube link. And so there's the link to the video there, and if you are in the process of making one, I'd love to see it posted on the Facebook group page. That would be fantastic. And a reminder as well that the month of July, once that closes off, that's when August, September and October, all of our members like yourselves, our foundational members, receive the normally $497 a month membership at half price. And the code that you put in from any time from the 1st of August onwards is the word foundation. So contact me if you have any concerns around that. I know that we have moved into restrictions in Victoria again, and it hasn't had an impact on Victorian dental clinics yet. We are still at level one, and we're hoping that that just is maintained. But I'm aware that we are still in a bit of a dicey situation, so I'm really hoping that I'm starting to fee for this membership at the right time. And if you are not up and running again and kind of seeing patients full time and getting back to your standard turnover, I'd love to hear about it, because if you find value in this, but because of the COVID-19 situation, you are struggling, let me know and we'll do something about the membership fee, because it's all been designed to support you through that process. Little check from the lovely L. I feel for you guys over there. I know, yeah, talking about over there yesterday. are you saying that the video took an hour out of your day yesterday? Is that what you're saying, possibly? But I feel for you guys over there. That's right. We feel for ourselves too. We want a new premiere. Oh, the DVA fees. Yeah, I know. It takes it. Okay, I said to the receptionist, "I'll log in. I'll do it from home office. It'll take me a second." It took me. Yeah, an hour and a quarter. It was longer than you were. Crap. So do keep in communication with me about that. Okay, let's get into the guts of today. All of those agenda items I have copied underneath here so you don't lose the information, because it's all been crossed through because it's an effective agenda item list. But now we're going to get into reducing broken appointment times. I've got a document here that's going to help me move through this with you. But the first thing I wanted to do is share with you the financial impact of broken appointment times, because this is the reason why it's really crucial to keep tabs on it. We're never going to have zero broken appointment times, but what we can do is help reduce them, because if we're not managing them at all, they can just spiral out of control. So I've got my calculator here. There we go. So let's just say that we're you know, some dentists, when they're kind of new grads coming out, they've got an hourly rate of around $300 an hour, sometimes a little bit less. And then you've got very well-established dentists that can have an hourly rate, you know, up into the high hundreds and beyond. And I want to have a realistic figure. This needs to be quite realistic. So let's talk about a figure of $400 an hour. $400, I'm writing it down as I go. So $400 an hour. And then what we're going to do is figure out that if somebody in law, if there was one failed appointment time every couple of days, let's average it out that you'd lose half an hour a day. So some failed appointment times are for 1 hour, and you know, rarely do you have just the half hour appointment time. So let's just say that we're losing half hour a day. So 400 divided by 2 equals, that's a loss of $200. How many days a week does the average dentist work? Many of the dentists that I've worked with in the past have always strived to work just 4 days a week. Not just 4 days a week, they've strived to work 4 days a week. So 200, and I'm not going to show you the rest of this, 200 times 4 times how many working weeks in a year? Well, there are 52 weeks in a year. 4 weeks holiday brings it down to 48, and then another week for public holidays. So another couple of weeks public holidays. So I always go by 46 weeks a year. So then that amount is times 46. And so let me just double check that. So just losing on average half an hour every day adds up by the end of the year to 36,800. If you are a practice that has more failed appointment times or late cancellations than that, then all of a sudden that cost just balloons out and out and out and out. $38,600, I mentioned the other day, you know, that could be a part-time steri nurse coming in and helping out. That could be somebody coming in specifically, their job is just to manage and complete treatment or outstanding accounts and helping out on the reception a little bit. So we're talking about figures that can have an enormous impact on the experience you guys have at your practices as well. $38,600 could refit out the staff room so it's a bit more whiz-bang, fix the old microwave, get a new one, get a brand new vacuum cleaner so it makes it easier to vac every day. There are so many things you can do with the money that you lose through broken appointment times that if you could get that money back again, all of a sudden you're improving the efficiency of your appointment book. The dentist's wage is more commensurate with the amount of time they're spending at the clinic. You've got a group of patients, patient base of people who are more respectful of your time. And there are absolutely things that you can do to ensure all these things happen. So let's jump into it. I'm going to share my screen again. Click into my little document. Let's see if I can actually open it up here. So there are various reasons why patients break their appointment times. And when I say break their appointment times, it's either late cancellation or failed to attend. There we go. Are we there? Oh, nothing on the top page. There we are. That was clever. So let's have a look at the reasons why patients break their appointment times. I've broken that up into 6 areas, and we're going to go through each of these one at a time and what we can do as a practice to help reduce that as a risk. Number one, unawareness of practice expectation. They just don't know. You have no idea. They may have been previously at a dental practice where you could not turn up and it was no big deal. It was never mentioned, and so it was an acceptable thing to do. It seemed to be an acceptable thing to do. And so when they come over to your practice, they just exhibit the same behavior that they had already, and they don't actually realize it's a bad thing. Forget. Simply forget the appointment time. We've got busy lives, we've got a lot of things on. Nowadays it's, you know, it's possibly a little bit different. We're, you know, have a bit more free time at home nowadays to concentrate on our diaries, but generally we're racing off to work, racing off to pick kids up from childcare or school, getting dinner organized, everything else in the world, sports, your own bits and pieces, getting your hair done, going to the footy, whatever it is, and you just simply forget you've got a lot going on. And there, as you know, there are some people that they make an appointment time, it gets locked up in their brain and they never forget. But then you have other people's brains that don't work that way, and they need to put themselves a reminder the day before. Their alarm goes off 2 hours before and then 5 minutes before to make sure that they're there. Sometimes the reason is that they are afraid to cancel. I consulted out of a practice years ago, and when patients called to move their appointment time or to do a late cancellation, it was kind of hauled over the coals. And even when there were pretty legitimate excuses, like I'm sick or whatever, like, can you just come in for this and then go straight to the doctor afterwards? And so unrealistic expectations around it. How about emergencies? Usually family matters. Yeah, absolutely, Elle. That was a comment from Elle. That's another great reason for a broken appointment time, is that they've had something come up at the last minute and all of a sudden they need to address it. I've got to make sure I remember how to emergencies. And so with the afraid to cancel, if you are going to make me feel bad and guilty when I ring you to say I can't come in, then I may not want to go through that. So I'll just not turn up and then say, oh, I was confused about my appointment time when you call me and say, where are you? Oh, I'm so sorry, I forgot all about it. So you don't want afraid to cancel being one of the reasons why people just don't show. It could be an early relationship as well. If you can imagine, you've been going to the same hairdresser, GP, restaurant for years and years and years. You've got a regular booking, that regular booking comes up again, and you think, gosh, now that the day has arrived, it doesn't really quite suit me. But I don't want to damage my wonderful relationship with this person. I'm going to make sure I get to that GP clinic, get to that restaurant booking for dinner. I don't want to upset them. We've got such a happy, I respect them. I've got such a happy and friendly relationship with them. I don't want to damage it. So I am going to go. However, if it was the first time you'd ever booked at that restaurant, booked in with that hairdresser, and all of a sudden the day comes around and it doesn't quite suit your diary, you have less to lose by just ringing up and saying, I'm so sorry, I can't come. You really have nothing to lose, because if they're kind about it, you can rebook. If they're not kind about it and they get insulted or upset by it, then you can just go to another hairdresser or another restaurant. So sometimes it's the early relationship that contributes towards it. The fifth reason, lack of engagement. Lack of engagement. And so if the patient, we've spoken in past live sessions about how to really engage your patients in their treatment plan. If they're not totally locked into it, if they don't truly would have chosen that treatment, they feel like they were kind of swayed into it, they're really not on board with it, then the days after they leave the practice from booking the appointment time, their engagement depletes. And then all of a sudden, a couple of weeks goes by, they go, you know, the tooth's really not bothering me that much anymore anyway. I might just not turn up. Number six is the pre-booked slots. So we'll be talking in future live sessions about pre-booking your appointment book. Little comment. Now during COVID, there are more patients who want to cancel because they have seasonal cold and flu. We now allow this just in case, but what would you think would be the right thing to say to the patient? I had thought there wasn't much you could say, because I agree with you, Elle, there's nothing you can say. And I always want to step away, and this is that practice that made people afraid to cancel. They also place themselves in the judgment chair of whether the patient was lying to them or not. I don't like that. Like, did that person really die and you've really got a funeral to go to? Are you really that sick? And, you know, are you really traveling for work? I don't like doing that. You are more likely going to be wrong. The patient has every right to lie to you if they want to. It's their world. They can do whatever they like. And what they are trying to do is maintain a happy relationship so they can continue coming back. And so they're telling you what will be nicer for you to hear, rather than, I can't be bothered coming in. But with this COVID situation, just with your last minute emergencies, you know, my child's I've got to go pick up my child from childcare. They've got conjunctivitis, or my son's just broken their arm, or those are what you've stated, they're emergencies. You can't do anything about that. You don't just suck it up, but embrace that as a practice. Go, sure, what can I do to help you? I'm so sorry. Call the next day. How's your son's arm? I'm so sorry to hear that he'd broken his arm. That's terrible. So use it as a way of furthering and deepening the relationship with them, but certainly don't judge them for it, and don't not allow for emergencies. That's what life is. It's emergencies. And never put yourself in that position of doubting whether they're telling the truth. It's not a good relationship to have with somebody. It's not a good, it's not your role in that relationship to be their judge. With the COVID situation, yes, I like that. We also occasionally need to move patients. That's exactly right, Elle. You have hit it on the head. I personally have, I don't really see a GP. I haven't seen a GP for over 10 years now, but glad I never get sick. but when I did have a GP and with my hairdresser and restaurant bookings, and I've never had someone ring me and cancel it or move it. Never yet. Practice after practice after practice that I've both worked in and consulted at, it's an acceptable norm to move patients around to suit us. And you're absolutely right, Elle. There are times where we just need to. They've got a seminar all of a sudden, or the dentist is sick. There are good, legitimate reasons to move people. We can spend more time with you when you know you're anxious. There are very good, legitimate reasons. And you can. I don't say you can't move patients, but when we are doing it, we can't then say to the patient, but you can't do it to us. It's crazy. So we do need to keep in mind, or if you've got a transient type of patient, the ones that just come in for emergencies, they're not long-term patients or the rest of it, you put additional measures in place to make sure that those patients are going to turn up. I don't personally believe that it's a good idea to spread those additional measures to your whole client base. And I've seen this happen where one patient doesn't pay their payment plan properly, so all of a sudden you change the whole system around payment plans. A patient doesn't turn, a transient patient doesn't turn up for a long appointment time, all of a sudden you've got a cancellation fee in place. And you start penalising and changing the customer experience for not just the tiny troublesome group, but the whole client base, who are made up mostly of patients that you love seeing. And the reason they love coming to you is because you've delivered an experience to them. And the minute you start making them pay penalties for things they haven't done, they will feel less special in your world. And when you start showing that you don't have this enormous gratitude to have them as part of your tribe, then they're going to feel that. And their experience will change. And sometimes it'll change and it'll change and it'll change. And then there'll be a tipping point. And I go, I think I'm going to go with my friend who seems really happy with their dentist. They seem really, really friendly. It seems like it's getting trickier and trickier to make this practice happy and to abide by all their many rules and regulations. Make sure that the systemic systems, the ones that apply to every patient, make sure they are addressing the needs of your ideal patient base. Then you will attract more of your ideal patient base because you are providing an experience that meets their expectations. For the few that don't do the right thing, just tweak the system slightly just for that group, but don't certainly roll it out for everybody. With the COVID-19 situation, you can't risk having a patient come. You can't. There's a few things. You can't risk having a patient come in and all of a sudden you have to, with COVID-19, you have to close down for 2 weeks. And you also can't indicate to the population, to your patient base, that you take the COVID situation so lightly that you are still letting people in when they're sick and unwell. It is something that this is a suck it up situation, and be very caring and thoughtful over the phone. You want these people to call you. You don't want them to think, oh my God, they're going to get upset with me for cancelling. I'm not going to call up and say I've had a sore throat. No, you want them to, because you cannot afford to have a COVID-19 patient in your practice at all. And so thank them. Thank you so much for letting us know. We wish you all the very best. Keep up the fluids, try to get outside, get some sunshine. And let's book your appointment time. What do you say? 2-3 weeks down the track, when you're fully recovered, we'll see how you are then, and then make sure, do whatever you can to get them back in the book as well. Sometimes they're saying, oh, I need to get tested and then I'll be in quarantine. Fantastic. Don't come. That's fantastic. Thank you. I'll put a note in my diary to give you a call in 2 months. We'll see where things are at. If you need anything in the meantime, please let us know. Certainly if they're in mid-treatment plan as well, if they're in mid-root canal, for example, we need to involve the dentist in the fact that that patient may be weeks before they can come back in again. And so they can advise us how to manage that patient while they're away from the practice. So what I was saying about pre-books, oh, that's the other thing I wanted to mention too. So because of the fact we have to suck it up and there's going to be downtime more so now than ever before, that downtime can then be, you can have a list of things that can be done in the practice during those downtime sessions. It could be an hour, 2 hours, half an hour. If it's half an hour, the nurses can restock the surgery, do somebody else's steri, go around asking everybody, what can I do for you? If it's a longer thing, then just have a list. You've got access to the JPPS online courses, encourage them to sit down in front of a computer screen, the dentist and the assistant, and do a quick online course or do half of one. Say, okay, we've got Evernote now. We'd love to get a system in place for our new autoclave maintenance. Can you quickly work on that? And just have things that are easy, projects that are easy to jump onto when these sort of things are happening, when these sort of cancellations occur. So you're still using the time productively. It will make everyone feel better. Pre-book slots. So when we pre-book our appointment book, what we're doing is saying best case scenario. This is where the recalls are, the new patients, the crowns, the root canals, the fillings. And we do that for the whole month and then rolling months after that. When pre-booked slots are inflexible, it can absolutely create broken appointment times because we are so rigid in saying, again, it's this practice that I used to consult out at. The rigidity sometimes, you can only have an 8 o'clock in the morning appointment time or a 2 o'clock in the afternoon appointment time when you're a new patient because they're the two pre-scheduled slots. I understand the theory behind it. You're never going to run late for the first patient of a session. I get that. However, if you kind of nudge that patient into a time that doesn't necessarily suit their diary, when they're booking the appointment time, they'll think, oh, yeah, I'll be able to manage it. It's not ideal, but I'll manage it on the day. Then the day comes and they go, I'm crazy busy at work. There's no way I could make an 8 o'clock in the morning time, 8 o'clock in the morning appointment time. There's no way. And so then that's a late cancellation because they are, hopefully it'll work out for me. The day comes, doesn't work out, late cancellation. So let's have a look at how we can mitigate the risk of each of these. First of all, the unawareness of practice expectation seems to be a really simple one. Have it stated on your appointment card. A lot of practices have that there and you go, okay, I've read that there. Or I've read it in the brochure that the practice gave me. They don't like late cancellations. I get it. However, how often are appointment cards used nowadays? Not as often. So now they've been replaced by the SMS messages. And on the SMS messages, you can have whatever stated there that you like. If you need to cancel your appointment time, try to do so within 24 hours. There's only so many characters you can use in an SMS and still keep it within the one message. And what I've done with one of my clients is just for the time being, we're sending out a message that's longer. It's over two messages, but it's got this is the confirmation of your appointment time plus the COVID-19 warning. So if you are sick or anything like that, please give us a call so we can reschedule your appointment time. So have it stated, not to the point of if you don't cancel, you'll be charged $100. Just a very polite phrase. If you find you can't make your appointment time, the sooner you can let us know, the better for us. We'd really appreciate a few hours of notice. So I just have it stated very beautifully, very gently. So no threats. We don't want to threaten anybody. There was one practice that I visited, again, years ago, and they had a practice brochure. So I decided to take the practice brochure with me and have a read of it in my own time. And I still remember reading it. And I was like, don't turn up late, don't cancel your appointment time late, don't do this, don't do that. And I'm like, the whole thing, none of it was about the benefits of coming to the practice. It was all about the penalties imposed if you were bad. So you don't want to have it as you're going to be a bad person if you do this. What you're doing is sharing with them that you would like as much notice as possible if they can't make their appointment time. And that's what helps us have a nice, happy relationship with them. The other thing is that if they are ever only 5 minutes late, let's have a quick look at L. We have our cancellation policy printed on the back of our medical history form, which we ask our patients to read and sign. That's beautiful. So from day one, patients know this practice don't like late cancellations. That's great. I think that's a fantastic idea and wonderful that you don't just have it there, but you get them to read it and then sign it. That's beautiful because otherwise they won't read it. They don't care enough. They won't read it. So yet when you, before you sign something, you are inclined to read what you're about to sign. I love that idea. When a patient is even just 5 minutes late, even if they are generally always turning up 7 minutes late, I say at the 5 minute mark, call them immediately. I used to wait 10 minutes when I was a receptionist years ago, but what I believe is that the call is we've noticed that you're not turned up yet. And I think 10 minutes is too long. That five minute call isn't something to be rude about. Hi, Sally, just checking that you are on your way. Oh, fantastic. No worries. Park and come on in and we look forward to seeing you in a few minutes. So it's a very upbeat, friendly call. But what it does tell that patient is that the minute I'm not there, they miss me. It's known. And so then subsequent times, even if they're going to be 5 minutes late, they'll ring. I'm 4 minutes down the track. I'm just going to be 4 minutes late. Is that okay? Yeah, sure. Thank you so much for calling us. I really appreciate it. Come on in. So you just want to help them realize that every minute does count. There was a situation recently where somebody rang the practice. They had a 12 o'clock appointment time. And they rang the practice and at 12 and they said, do I have time for coffee first? So it's good to help people understand that every minute does count because certainly in a dental practice it does. But make sure it's a very happy, upbeat phone call. Any patient that's got a regular FTA, they should be charged after a warning, of course. The charging of FTA patients, I always thought definitely charge. But when you're charging, you may be saying goodbye to that patient. Not many patients are happy paying for something that they didn't receive. However, if they're a regular and FTA patient, they might be the most glorious patient, but they're a disruption to your appointment book and your production. And it's difficult to manage those patients. And so maybe they are better off leaving and going somewhere else. The other thing I say about FTA patients is that $50, which was something that I've seen very regularly, is too little. People go, oh, I can't really make that appointment time. Oh, it's only $50. I'll just pay the cancellation fee, no big deal. And then we're square and even. But from our perspective, we're not square and even. We've lost more than $50 in that half hour or hour plus. Just having a quick look what Elle has written. We say $50 for every half hour. Groovy. That's good. Because it has to be enough to hurt. It has to be enough for them to second guess. Because I think $100 or $200 is ideal. I think $100, we're like, that's $100, man. Like, I don't want to just throw $100 away. I'll just do whatever I can to turn up to the appointment time. So it has to be a deterrent. And even for your regular patients, you don't want them to say, I just chuck them the $50 and we're square and even, because they say, we're not square and even. And so I think $50 per half hour works well. It's easy to articulate, easy for patients to understand, but don't be shy in charging a quality fee because you want it to be big enough to hurt a little bit, not hurt too much, hurt a little bit. When booking appointment times, if the patient seems to be questioning whether it is a suitable time, the receptionist should be finding something more suitable, thereby decreasing the chances of the patient getting to the day and then finding that they can't make it after all. So we all know what this is like for us receptionists out there, that you'll be booking an appointment time and you'll say, can you get here by 5:50? Oh yeah, I need an after work appointment time. What time do you finish work? 5 o'clock. Can you get here by 5:15? No, not till about 5:20, 5:25, I reckon, depending on traffic. And then you go, oh, look, we sometimes run 5 minutes late anyway, I'll pop you in. No way. The minute that patient is exhibiting any signs that that time isn't perfectly suitable to their schedule, I always say, well, let's find something that's going to be spot on for you. Should I prevent booking appointments? I didn't read up further. We have a patient that has paid $100 twice and still wants to make appointments. I make sure he is only booked at the end of the day. Should I prevent booking appointment times for him? This is the interesting thing. So even $100, he's like, $100, whatever. Like maybe you got to jump it up and make it hurt a little bit more. And I think it's okay to have the communication with the patient. Maybe it's better in letter form. And maybe what I'll do is I'll draft up a letter that can be sent to recidivist FTAs. Letter. And I'll send it through to you guys over the next couple of days, because what we want is the opportunity to say to a patient, because it sounds like this is what's happening with this patient possibly, that we know that you FTA, that you fail your appointment times, and so therefore we charge you $100. And then you pay the $100 and everything's okay. We're square and even, happy again. But in essence, what you want to say, we charge you $100 to try to stop you from FTAing, but you're continuing to FTA. This is not the ideal path moving forward. If you would like to remain a patient at this practice, we would love to have you, but we do need you to be more committed to your appointment times. And so I'm going to write a letter around that, because I think this guy would be a classic for doing that. If he's a great patient in every other way, then sure, work with this new system and see what you can do with it. If he also is turns up late when he does turn up, or doesn't pay his accounts or whatever, then you can decide as a practice, do we actually want to go to all the extra effort to keep him here, or do we ease him out of the practice? And the way he's always got an emergency meeting at work. Yeah. And that's, you know, I get that happens, and work comes as a high priority. And that's where you say, well, we're never going to book you in working hours. Do you have Saturdays off if you have Saturday times, for example? Like, I'm asking you, patient, what time and what day are you absolutely going to show up? Because we can't continue having failed appointment times. We can't continue this pattern. And all of that can be said with a friendly, supportive tone. We don't want to come across rude. You know, people, you know, they've got free will. They can do whatever the hell they want. But if you want to be a part of this practice, this is the way we work best. Are you able to conform to that? The other thing I was going to say about, oh, that's right, easing a patient out. It's a very big call to say to a patient, we no longer want to see you anymore. And there are some patients where you can say that if they've been rude and aggressive, for example, if they've refused to pay an account and it's been outstanding forever, if then I'm always quite comfortable in saying, given the way you spoke to our reception staff, that kind of aggression is not tolerated here. So unfortunately, from this moment forward, we will not be your dentist, and we're going to block seeing you here at this practice, but we will send your records on to whoever you like. If it's a patient that you just want to quietly ease out of the practice, what I've done in the past that's been quite successful is that you definitely charge for every FTA. And then when they need an appointment time, you don't give them an appointment time in the next 2 weeks. You say, well, we're actually quite busy at the moment. The next available appointment time is 2 months down the track. And then maybe a week before that appointment time, as long as it's not a toothache. And if you can, even for a toothache, you can say our next appointment time is 2 months down the track, hoping they go somewhere else for their toothache. But if it's just a standard recall or something and that you've booked it 2 months down the track, a week beforehand, ring them and say, I'm so sorry, the dentist has a seminar now that day. We're going to have to push your appointment time out another month. I'll certainly call you if we get anything sooner. And you just make it a little bit too difficult to come in, and it doesn't take many, it's once or twice, and patients will go, oh, I'm going somewhere else. These guys are way too busy and they're not treating me properly, so I'm going to go somewhere else. And when it's their choice, it's so much nicer rather than having this confrontational phone call. I've had so many of these sort of phone calls, and you never know how they're going to go. Of, you know, you're not going to be seen here anymore. So there are ways of easing these sort of patients out, but I think maybe this guy, and it's a useful letter to have. It's a useful option to have, to be able to say to a patient, this isn't working out well, and so I'm just going to be able to be really clear with you what it takes to be a happy union here at this practice, and is that going to work for you as well? If they say, no, that's not going to work for me, so I'm really sorry then, but I can suggest a magnificent practice around the corner. They've got later night sessions that may help you more so. So whenever you hear a doubt in the patient's mind, if it's doubtful today, it's going to be wildly doubtful on the day of, because we always project forward and go, it'll be right, I'll get it sorted by then. And then the day arrives and you think, there's no way I can fit the dentist in today. And we remain hopeful up until the last moment. I'll get it sorted. But then, bow. The next thing to treat the reason for broken appointment times, the forgetful reason, is modify your appointment confirmation process. Do not just send an SMS and forget. Ensure they respond to your SMS, and if not, call them directly. There are some practices and consultants that still don't think confirmations are a good idea. I think there was a space for that years ago, but now we get confirmation messages from our restaurants, from our hairdressers, from our GPs, from our physio, from everybody. And so I think there's now a growing expectation again that they'll remind me, they'll send me a confirmation SMS. And so I think you must confirm every patient. And I think the first confirmation is the SMS. Don't block them from being able to message back to you. Have it not just a Y or N for no, like allow them to be able to converse with you. The sooner you have this information that they can't come in, the better. The more time you have to fill that space. And so if they're sitting in a meeting and they're like, oh, damn it, I forgot to ring them, I've just received my SMS reminder, allow them to be able to quickly text while they're sitting in that Zoom meeting. Elle says, yes, we call if no one messages back and they don't answer, we send an SOS text. Oh, an SOS text, that's a great idea. SOS, are you coming? Great idea. And so I say 2 days before, do the SMS. Give them a day to respond to the SMS. If they don't, ring them. And what I've noticed as a habit for patients in this particular practice is that when you ring them because they haven't responded to the SMS, they all say the same thing. Oh, I forgot to respond to the SMS. So I think that's a helpful thing. And but certainly allow them to converse back and forward. Afraid to cancel. So manage late cancellation phone calls in a positive and polite way. If a patient is given a hard time when calling to cancel an appointment time, they are more inclined just to miss it completely without notice rather than have the difficult phone call. So the other letter that I might send through is a late cancellation one as well. It's all about communicating our expectations to patients in an elegant way, in a way that can deepen our relationship and rapport with them rather than break it down if we want to keep them as a patient. So don't ever, as I say, don't put yourself in the as judge of their reasons and whether they're lying or not, but also don't put yourself in a position where they are naughty and you're doing the finger waving. I don't think that's our place. I don't think that's our place with patients. So just be polite. Oh, you've got a death in the family. That's terrible. I'm so sorry to hear about that. Then put a little note in a few days' time. How are you coping? So sorry to hear about it. You know, your loss, and you can make it a positive experience for the patient. The ones that are recidivist in their late cancellations or FTAs, you don't necessarily need that moment on the telephone call to counsel them why that's wrong. That can be done in a letter. I think it's probably best done in a letter. And I always like checking in with their dentist first to make sure that they're happy. They may have more information about this person, what's going on in their world. So I don't send that letter. They've actually just lost their job, whatever. So I think it should be a group discussion, and therefore a letter being sent out is often better. Never send an email unless you have warned them, I've just sent you an email, because it will unlikely be to be opened and read. Early relationship. You are less likely to see long-standing patients FTA. It is usually the newer patients of the practice. So developing rapport and a deeper relationship more swiftly will result in patients showing a stronger commitment to holding up their side of the positive, friendly relationship. And how often have you had this experience where you've had, you know, 20 patients come in, hi there, take a seat, hi there, take a seat, lovely day. Oh, I know, COVID's all troubling, isn't it? But then every now and again, you have a patient come in and for some reason you click and you have a laugh and a giggle and oh, and you form a deeper relationship quickly. If you can have that as the intention for all of your new patients as they come in, so you can start getting that strong rapport happening, then what you're doing is you're fast tracking that relationship so they get less inclined to want to disappoint you sooner, like earlier on in that relationship. So rather than being in a relationship for a year with them and then they want to start making you happy and making sure they're not making you unhappy, then you're getting to that same point, but after just a couple of appointment times, because you've built such a friendly, strong relationship with them. And in the to build rapport, to understand how to build rapport, we'll certainly be covering that in a future live session, but it's also covered in the Superstar Receptionist online course as well. Lack of engagement. Achieving patient engagement in their treatment will result in a commitment to their appointment times. What we want is for patients to think, I can't not have that appointment time. I don't want to risk the ramifications of having this condition left for any longer than I need to. I must come in. I'm moving away from the pain of what will happen if I don't come in. And that's what you want. You want people to be completely engaged in their treatment plan, understand the ramifications of not getting anything done. And that's driving their urgency to make sure they keep this appointment time. Pre-book slots. The process of setting aside pre-book slots for new patients and specific treatments restrict appointment book flexibility. There will be a section of your books that patients have scheduled at times that that don't actually suit them. Their attendance requires them to rearrange other areas of their life while they are booking the appointment time. Dentistry is of high priority. So they believe they can shuffle everything else because it's less important at that moment. However, by the time the day of the visit comes, dentistry has fallen in importance and other areas of their life have priority. And so what I suggest with that is absolutely pre-schedule your appointment book, but have flexibility within it. Encourage your receptionist to have flexibility within it. See as a higher priority that patients are booking times that absolutely 100% suit them. Otherwise, we're risking broken appointment times. And Elle says, I'm sorry, Julie, I have to go. No worries. Lovely. I'll catch you later. We've got 7 minutes to go. You can catch up the last bit at the end. Thank you so much for joining me. And thanks for your interaction. That's awesome. I'm going to put down here SOS text. I think that's a fantastic idea. Ciao, Bella. Okay. Now, the last little section is just to give you 5 points of action that you can take as a practice to help ensure that you're not having any broken appointment times or as fewer as possible. So number one, do establish that patient engagement with their treatment. That's going to be an enormous, very impactful way of ensuring that patients want to keep that time no matter what. That's the priority for them. Number two, build urgency in the treatment as well. So when do I get this treatment done? Oh, you can get it done anytime over the next 4 months, it's fine. No, oh, I think we really, you know, decay, that condition only gets worse if it's not treated. So I'd like to see you back here within 3 weeks. Number three, develop scarcity around appointment times. Now, this is a really interesting element for dental receptionists out there. Even if you've got a brand new practice that has just opened up and there are zero appointment times in that appointment book, if a patient rings to say it's a toothache, and say, I need to come in for a toothache, and you say to them, sure, we're completely free today. You can come in anytime you want. Then that patient will say, 2 o'clock, that suits me. You go, fabulous, we'll see you at 2. they're likely to turn up at 2:15 or 2:30 because you've got all the time in the world. However, flip it. You've got a completely free appointment book. The toothache patient rings up and you say, oh gosh, you poor thing, that toothache sounds terrible. Did you lose sleep last night? Oh gosh, and your tolerance is probably up with this pain. Oh, look, we are fully booked today, but we never turn away somebody with pain. It's awful. So let me see what I can do. Oh gosh, I wonder if I could. Yeah. Look, there's one thing I'm noticing I could change around. It would just mean that you'd have to be here by 2. Could you do that? Absolutely. I'm in pain. Fantastic. We'll see you at 2. Do you think that patient's going to come at 2? You'll betcha. You'll betcha. Because there is no other space. I have to be there at 2 in order to get this toothache seen. Plus, you've been so lovely and rapport building that they don't want to let you down and be there late for the 2 o'clock appointment time. So no matter how many spaces you have in the book, develop scarcity. And I always give patients, if they're booking further in advance and there are gaps in the book, I just always give them 2 options. Even though you've got a completely free book, we can see you on the 23rd, Thursday the 23rd at 2 or Friday the 24th at 9. What would you prefer? It just helps build the scarcity around the appointment times. So they know that you can't budge around it. There's patients back and front, can't budge around it. Only schedule the sure thing. Reassure the receptionist they have your support with this. Only schedule a sure thing and confirm your appointment times, as I say. Confirm your appointment times. That was my last one there. I hope that's been helpful. I will let you know once I've got the FTA letter and the late cancellation letter drafted. So that might be useful for you moving forward as well. Tick that off, no longer top priority. And drag it over to completed. Our next live session on Sunday, we're going to be talking about converting new callers into appointments. And I'm going to put here, have we got anything on that one? Scheduling for high productivity and low stress. The next card is going to be building rapport with patients. It can be done over the phone, in person. It's the way you can become a very friendly, trusted practice for your patients, both new and existing. So it's a good one. I hope you enjoyed tonight, it's dark outside now, tonight. If you have any questions, please let me know. And if you'd like to have any particular topics that have been raised in your practice over the last few weeks, send them through. I'd love to concentrate on them at future live sessions. Otherwise, have a beautiful afternoon and evening, and we look forward to seeing you next time. See you later.